We're talking about our summer soundtrack, and I'm going to read you from Philippians 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clements and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. In fact, can we just do that right now? Can we take 10 seconds and rejoice in the Lord? Rejoice in the Lord. Jesus, we rejoice in you today. Jesus, we give you praise today. He says, rejoice. And then he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone because the Lord is at hand. And now we're going to really jump into where I'm going to go today. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but someone here today is anxious about a family situation, a medical situation, a job situation, a financial situation, a Bitcoin situation. And he says, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to talk about the soundtrack of joy and peace. I want to talk about the soundtrack of joy and peace. I'm going to dare you today to hit play on the soundtrack of joy and peace and to drown out all these other soundtracks that are rotting your soul. Pray with me. God, help in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Tell me your favorite movie. On the count of three, everyone tell me your favorite movie. One, two, three. Did someone say White Chicks? I heard White Chicks. Was that your movie? White Chicks. White Chicks. It just came out. There's nothing like a classic, right? I want you to think about your favorite movie, and I want you to think about the soundtrack that's associated with that movie. There are people like, I believe his last name is Williams, who did the soundtrack for Indiana Jones and Star Wars that have made millions and millions of dollars for creating soundtracks that go with some of the movies that we recognize. But I want you to think about these movies that we love so much, and I want you to imagine now that same movie that you love and watching that movie without a soundtrack. I want you to think about what it would be like to watch your favorite movie and it's silent. It's just kind of like right now. There's nothing going in the background. It's just sort of going. Like, imagine the hero enters into the chaos, but you don't hear any music that kind of cues you up to let you know that the hero is entering into the chaos. Imagine if you saw one of these movies with no soundtrack, or imagine if it was with a different soundtrack. Imagine if you're watching some movie where the man and the woman are seeing each other at a train station. They come together and they run. That's a rom-com. And they're coming to meet each other right there and they can embrace each other. But instead of being whatever kind of music that is, imagine it's like the music of a horror movie. It would sort of ruin the moment, would it not? In fact, it would even confuse you because as you're watching the movie and you're listening and you're feeling that thing, the scene might even be the same, but it will feel very differently because the moment the hero runs into a chaotic situation or the moment that a couple reunites or just something that's happening in one of these moments where you know that, okay, wait, the turn has now begun, soundtracks have a way of shaping our emotions and letting us know by way of vibe, what it is that's happening in that place. Have you ever walked into a room and the vibe in the room was chaos? Or the vibe in the room was worry? Or the vibe in the room was tense? Or the vibe in the room was despair? Or the vibe in the room was something else? And I sometimes wonder if the angels of heaven look at us on the earth and they see what we don't see. They see that we've got a God that is for us and not against us. They see what we don't see, that they see that the captain of the angel armies is standing ready for us. And there's this tendency in Scripture for people to lose touch of what is really going on. It's almost like people tend to play the wrong soundtrack on their lives. And today I want to call us to get the right soundtrack going. Today I want to call us to the soundtrack of joy and of peace. See, soundtracks, they shape our emotions. They do not change the scene, but they change the way that we experience the scene. I'm not promising today that God is going to change every bit of your scene. What I am going to promise is that if you will let him, what I am going to promise, if you will permit him, God is going to do something in the middle of the same exact scene that will feel radically different because you're playing the right soundtrack. And that is a soundtrack of joy and peace. Many of you right now are walking through the scenes of your life and you are stressed, or you're disappointed, or you are afraid, or you feel confused, or maybe it feels chaotic. And we believe the answer to our chaos is to escape the chaos. We believe the answer to the scenes of our life that we don't like right now is to escape the scenes. Oh, no, let me escape this. Let me go back to what it was before. Let me go back to that scene or go back to that scene. But what we're going to find in Philippians 4 today, and it is a brilliant passage, is that the secret to you living the way that you want to live and that you need to live is that Jesus has a soundtrack for your life, but you've got to play his soundtrack. He said, take my yoke. Pastor Mike talked about this last week. Take my yoke upon you. Many of us have prayed for easier lives and less storms. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a new soundtrack. And I dare you to play it today. God never promised you an easy life. He did not promise every season is going to transition equally easy. He did not promise that everything is going to be a piece of cake when you jump into it. What he promised is, even in the midst of some of the worst scenes, you will hear what others start to hear. When Indiana Jones, all of a sudden, music starts to go, you know, oh, wait, that means what's happening right now. When Marvel movies start to do their thing, you know, oh, something good is about to happen, because the soundtrack lets you know. And I think this is what we have when it says, in the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, is going to guard your hearts and minds. In other words, you get the vibe before the scene gives the clues that the vibe is coming, because you've got a God inside of you that gives you realities on the inside before they happen on the outside, if you'll let him. That's what Philippians 4 actually gives us, by the way. He says the key is not to change the scene of your movie. The key is to change the soundtrack of your soul. And that's what we're going to find here. It's not a way out of chaos, but it's a new sound to walk through it. It's a sound that even in the middle of the trials, I don't believe Jesus always promises that all of your enemies are going to be gone, but he will let you rejoice in the presence of your enemies. He's not always going to wipe out all of your enemies, but he will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He will not take you from every difficult situation. He will let you dance in the middle of those difficult situations. See, peace and joy are actually not optional. They're essential if you're going to have a life that's well-lived. If you're going to have a life that makes sense, peace and joy, they can make or break a soul. They can make or break a mind. They can make or break a semester. They can make or break a marriage. Peace and joy can make or break a family. I don't care how good everything is on the outside. If you do not have peace and joy, it will not be good. See, we long for peace and joy, but they feel somewhat slippery. They're sort of elusive. Like, how do we find it? One news headline, and we're out of our peace and joy. We Bitcoin takes a drop, and we're out of our peace and joy. Our business partner did something wacky, and when we're out of our peace and joy, our child tells us that they hate us, and we're out of our peace and joy. How old is your child? She's 1 year old. Okay, 1 year olds. That's what they do. Or that's what they can do. Right. See, Jesus has a soundtrack for your life, and we have settled for lives of escapism, where I'm talking to people on a regular basis who are living for their next vacation. Jesus wants to give you a life that you're not trying to escape from. He wants to give you a life that even in whatever scene you're in, that there is such a peace and such a joy, there is such a vibe, there is such a rhythm. See, Jesus has R&B. He's got rhythms that displace our blues. That's what Jesus does. And we've been praying for our scenes to get easier because we've been trained to think that peace and joy are the result of escaping bad scenes. But Jesus is about to let us know peace and joy have little to do with what scene you're in and a lot to do with what soundtrack you're listening to. Let me just say it like this. Here's the entire sermon. I'm going to try to make this clear in Philippians 4. Peace and joy are not found by escaping your chaos. I'm going to say it again. Peace and joy are not. They are not found by escaping chaos. That is not how you find them. This is why people say, man, I just need a weekend at the beach. Maybe, maybe not. I love the mountains. I need to go to the mountains. Maybe, maybe not. I need to get away from those people. Maybe, maybe not. Peace and joy are not found by escaping chaos. They are found by turning to God and others in it. Let me make this real clear. Let me give you the biblical and the neuroscientific explanation on this. Joy, you want to get this. Joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. And both are possible, even in the worst of scenes or times, when we connect with God and people. Let me say this again. This is why the key is not going to the beach, because you could go to the beach, you could have a vacation, you could go to Italy, you could go to Portugal, you could go to Europe, you could try to escape, and you'll come back just as miserable as you were, because the key is not escaping your chaos. The key is connecting to the right people in it. So let me prove it. Philippians 4:1. Let's just walk through it. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brothers whom I love. Everyone say, I love and I long for. Say, I long for. My joy. Say, gozo. And my crown, say crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Say my beloved. Number one, joy is relational connection. Joy is not pleasure. I talked to someone a couple weeks ago and I said, hey, where do you get joy? And if I were to ask you, where do you think you get joy? And his answer was, you get joy by doing what you enjoy. So if you enjoy the beach, you go to the beach. You enjoy pickleball, you go play pickleball. You enjoy one thing, you enjoy movies, you go watch some movies. Yet the Bible tells us that may be pleasure, but we have mistaken pleasure for joy. See, joy is relational connection. You see this when Paul writes to, let me just make this clear. He's going to get to do not be anxious, but the section of Philippians that we're dealing with begins in Philippians 4:1. There is no break between Philippians 4:1 and Philippians 4:7. Before we get to 4:7, where he says, do not be anxious about anything. And this is where I just want to make this clear, because I've heard so many church people say, are you anxious? Yeah, I'm anxious. You know what the Bible says? I mean, you got to do what the Word says. Are you anxious? Man, I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm scared. Well, then you got to do what the Word says. Well, what does the Word say? Do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's the answer to anxiety? And it's a typical church answer. Pray about it. And we all say that. And we get guilt-tripped about that. Man, I feel anxious. Man, I should pray about it. And so we do pray about it. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever tried this, I've prayed about things and I still felt anxious. And I'm like, could I flick you off in the Holy Spirit right now? Because you gave me a false, but what I want you to see is, it's a section, that it's a new section, verse 1, therefore, new section coming down, therefore, before Paul tells them to connect with God, he first connects with them. Look what he says. My brothers, whom I love, I long for, my joy, my crown, my beloved. Before he even goes vertical, he first goes horizontal. Because I guarantee you, your anxieties are not just vertical. Your anxieties are horizontal. If you don't figure this out, if you don't learn that joy is relational connection, it will make no sense to you what Paul's doing here when he's writing them a letter. It's almost like when he sees, it's like, Oxa, like I can barely see Oxa because of the lights, but if I could, I'd be like, Oxa, I love Oxa. Like that's one of my people. That's like, I could actually say to Oxa, my sister, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Let me ask you a question. Why are we so stingy with our affection for each other? Is it possible that the secret to anxiety being gone, and I'm going to get to Philippians 4:7 where we connect with God in prayer, but before he connects them to God in prayer, he first connects them to each other with joy. You don't get joy by doing what you enjoy. We usually think this passage is about being anxious for nothing and prayer. Let me read you a little quote from someone, because neuroscience is actually telling us a lot about this now, okay? And what we're going to find is this. Let me read this. The growing field of neuroscience is helping us understand how our brains affect our daily lives. The circuits of our brain are actually wired to regulate emotions. When our relational circuit, put this quote up there, when our relational circuit is up and running, we are in an ideal state for joy and peace. This state of being our best is known as acting like ourselves. We act like ourselves when we say and do things that align with our identity. We reflect who we're meant to be, more creative, more relational, more likable. The relational circuits come on, they come on when we, and here's the word, expect joy. Can everyone say expect joy? See, when you come to church, let me make this clear, Greenhouse. When we come to church, we're supposed to be expecting joy. That's what's supposed to happen. When we come to church, we should be expecting. When you go to microchurch, you should expect joy. Any of you that go to Ox's goal setting, Mamacita, be successful, take the world, do it meekly and humbly, you know, take over, take the mountain, be lowly and gentle, like whatever that's going to be. If you go to her, I guarantee you, when you show up at her place, she's going to make you feel joy. When she heard I was coming down here, she's like, oh, can we connect? Can we connect? Because joy is relational what? Connection. Can we all say that? Joy is relational connection. See, you got to catch this. Joy is not eating a filet mignon. Joy is not going to the beach. Joy is not going to the mountains. Joy is not getting a better job. Joy is not getting more money. Joy is not winning the lottery, because we've got so many evidences of people that got all of the above. They still did not have joy, because joy is not the presence of pleasure. It's the presence of connection with God and people. If you do not connect, you will not have joy, because joy is relational connection. Let me keep reading. Joy is the glad to be togetherness where we light up to see others and they light up to see us. By the way, the neuroscientists are now telling us that when people are glad to be with you, and you can tell, like when someone's like, oh, it's you. Like they tell us parts of your brain, something happens in your brain. Your brain releases chemicals when you can tell someone's glad to be with you, which is why you'll have fathers that are highly stoic, and you've got men that are very stoic, and they never move their face and they never raise their voice, and they get around their newborn baby. They're like, oh, my little princess. And you're like, where did this man come from? He intuitively knows his child needs something to happen, namely joy, because there are parts of your brain that light up when you know that someone is glad to be with you, and there are parts of your brain that go down when you think they're not. Is there anywhere on planet Earth where we should be having more glad to be togetherness than in the body of Christ? I mean, even when we finish service today, man, I'm telling you, you got an assignment. A bunch of us are going to go to lunch. Come to lunch with us and light up when we're there. And I'm not saying you got to be fake, but I'm saying, guys, all week long, there's a world that tells us, I don't want to be with you. The church is supposed to be the place where it's on earth as it is in heaven. What's it like up in heaven? I'll tell you how it is in heaven. God is glad to be with you. Which means if we're going to make it on earth as it is in heaven, I know there's miracles to perform, and there's healings, and there's salvations and redemptions and deliverances. Let me just lower the bar a little bit and also raise the bar a little bit. If the church could be the place again where we expressed sincerely, not fakely, not flattery, not phony stuff, real stuff, I am glad to be with you. The book of Proverbs says open rebuke is actually better than love concealed. You're better off just rebuking someone openly than if you've got love for someone, tell them. If you're glad to see someone today, tell them. Saw someone I hadn't seen in years, Brittany, who's in here today. I was like, oh, I'm so happy to see her. I was so glad when I saw Ellie Chinwith. I'm like, oh my gosh, my heart kind of rose. I was like, that makes me glad. Like there's a gladness that's there. See, joy is relational. I haven't even finished this quote. Let me go ahead and finish this quote, okay? Where am I here? The presence of joy is the turbo booster, while the absence of joy leaves us in fumes. Once we have, by the way, the neuroscientists will tell you what the Bible tells you. Joy is strength to your soul. Can anyone think of a Bible verse that goes with that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Watch this. Once we have enough face-to-face joy, we're ready for a pause. Everyone say pause. A breather that allows us rest so we can build more joy. A rhythm develops, and we call this breather peace. Joy revs you up. That's why little babies, they can only smile and laugh for so long. If you've ever had a baby, then they need to calm down. Then they need peace. There are these cycles. It's a rhythm that, it's R&B. It's a rhythm that gets rid of your blues. There's a rhythm of joy that comes to peace. I just want to point out what neuroscientists are saying in 2025, Philippians 4 was saying in the year mid, 50s. Is God not smart? I mean, I know that's like a low praise right there, but can we just go ahead and agree? God is smart. I'd like a worship. Could someone write a worship song? God is smart. I'm just pointing out here, before Paul says rejoice in the Lord, he first displays to them rejoicing in each other. I think churches are really good about saying rejoice in the Lord. I'm not sure we've done enough saying let's rejoice in one another. Amen? See, do you have, I guess the question I'm asking you is, do you have this effect on people? Do you have the effect on people that when you see them, that something in them lights up, that when they can tell, when they get around you, joy is coming? Because, peace and joy, they're not as elusive as we think. They're different than we think. Joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. Let me keep going. Verse 2. It says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask also, you true companion, help these women. Now, I want you to notice, he hasn't gotten to prayer yet. He's going to say pray. He's going to say go pray about it. But before, if you've got anxiety right now, before you're ready to go vertical to God in prayer, you might need to go horizontal with somebody in joy and peace. I want you to notice, like, you could tell he's addressing a congregation that he loves, but there's anxiety in the house, and he wants to tell them how to get rid of anxiety. And again, the typical church answer is go pray about it. But he's like, you're not even ready to pray about it until these two ladies, and let's be clear about these ladies, they worked with the Apostle Paul. Their names are written in the book of life. They're godly. They're heroes. They're wonderful. They're awesome. And they're not talking. Did you realize it is possible to be a Christian, to be a disciple, to love Jesus, your name is written in the book of life, if you died, you'd go to heaven, and you're giving hell a foothold on earth? Did you know that when you don't let connection happen, that when you let the connection break down, don't even, see, I think we've rushed to tell people, take your gift to the altar. But Jesus actually said, wait a minute, while you're about to go take your gift to the altar, while you're about to go bring your prayer to God, are you anxious? Lift up your prayers, lift up your petitions. Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, you know what? Leave your gift at the altar and first go make things right. First go get things right horizontally before you try to go do something vertically. I just think Paul is brilliant because have you ever tried to pray and you can't get them out of your mind? You can't get who, I don't know who your Syntyche is. Apparently this woman, she was ticked up. Syntyche. Even her name says Syntyche. The syllables themselves. Who would name their child Syntyche? Have you ever had someone that can just press your buttons? You ever had that happen? Syntyche. You ever had a child just snap back at you, parents? Syntyche. You ever had your spouse just do it? They know it irritates you, and they did it again in front of other people. Syntyche. There's like a Syntyche. And you're like, oh, Syntyche. I don't know who your Syntyche is, but I noticed that Paul says to him, he's like, oh, I entreat you. Agree in the Lord. We don't always agree on the issues. Can we agree in the Lord? Syntyche. No. When someone pushes your buttons, the reason they push your buttons and the reason Satan loves it is because joy is relational connection. And you don't realize when you think you're getting back at Syntyche, you might. You're also giving up your joy. Because joy is relational what? Connection. Joy is relational connection. I want you to see that when that annoying coworker that always does what they always do, or maybe it's disappointment, or I don't know what it is that kind of knocks you out. But in verse 3, he says, help these women. Help these women. I've personally been frustrated at times when I've had issues with other people, and I would see other believers in the Lord that would do nothing to help us reconcile. I'd be like, because he actually says, help these women. They both love Jesus. There's been times like I've even tried to reconcile with people that wouldn't. I'd be like, wait a minute. Why are so many believers, like, why are we taking sides rather than saying, help, could you help us? Hey, church, we need to help each other. And I get it. Sometimes people be like, well, man, I don't want to get involved. No, apparently Paul says you do need to get involved. We should help Euodia. We should help Syntyche. Everyone say Syntyche. Say, that's my sister. I don't know who yours is, but I pray that something's going to happen. Now, let me kind of break this down a couple different ways. I remember a while back, one of my kids was, I just caught them in a lie. So my child had done something. So literally, there was a cup with ice that was still cold in the car, okay? Which lets you know that that couldn't have been around for very long, right? So I go, and I saw this, and I knew this. So I went to my child, and I backed them into a corner, and I was using my skills of whatever, persuasion or whatever it was, to try to make it clear they were guilty. I was trying to go there. And so I did this whole thing, and I'm sort of evading, and I'm backing them into a corner, and they kept denying and denying and denying and denying. And I know that's disappointing that the pastor's kid could actually sin, you know? Their name is Sentiki, right? So they send, right? So, and it does. It pushes my buttons when people lie to me. I really, really, really hate it when people lie to me. And so they did. And so they said, I swear it wasn't me. I swear I did not go there. And I'm like, the Chick-fil-A cup is in the car. Like, well, maybe I did, but that was last week. I said, there's still ice in the cup. And they said, well, I don't know how to explain that. I mean, you believe in miracles. I'm like, and I believe you're a sinner. You know, and so it's like, and so here we are. Now the problem, here was the catch. My wife was watching me do this, and she was like, Michael, I know you won the argument, but you lost the connection. And sometimes even as a parent, like, I will forget the purpose is not to lose connection, because even if you win, and even if you're right, and even if you get the deal, and even if you go on vacation, and even if you go to the beach, and even if you get all the stuff, if you do not have relational connection, you will not have joy, because joy is relational connection. So when he says, when you're walking this whole thing down, when you see verse 4 now, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, the next verse says, let your reasonableness be known to everybody, because the Lord is at hand. Now, what a strange turn of events here. He starts moving us to the Lord, rejoice in each other, and now he says rejoice in the Lord, because joy is relational connection with people and with God. But lest he move on too quickly, he even pauses, and he's like, let your reasonableness, and some versions will say, let your gentleness. See, by the way, it's not with God that we need reasonableness and gentleness. It's with people that we need reasonableness and gentleness. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. So last week, I was at a passport agency with my family because one of my three daughters are going to El Salvador. We're doing a mission trip from our church in Gainesville. And so one of my daughters, they have shared a room their entire life. So imagine you're in a room. There's always three people in a room. We have eight children. If you're new around here, we have eight children. So we've never had a ton of space. And so three daughters have always been in one bedroom, and there's stuff everywhere. And the older they've gotten, I mean, their room is, I mean, if you saw it, it's been like a disaster. I mean, I just called it the black hole. I'm like, if something goes in there, it's gone. I mean, if you want, forget going to a safety deposit box, just drop it in my daughter's room, and that thing is tight, and no one's going to find that thing ever. So anyway, we're trying to get all the passports. We found all of them except one of my daughters. We cannot find her passport. I said, I know where it is. She said, no, I guarantee, Dad. I remember, Daddy. I put it on Mommy's dresser. Mommy had it. So Ruth, my wife, spent about 4 hours looking for this passport. I said, I don't know why you're doing this. We know where it's at. It is in the room. And my daughter said, no, I assure you. How much time did Mom spend? Four? I spent 5 hours looking for the passport in my room. I'm like, you know, I don't care how long you look. It would take a miracle. I mean, you're going to have to keep looking. I know that's where it's at. Long story short, last week, we go to the passport agency. They let me know, you need to Mom and Dad. I take off work. I get there. The appointment was 11:40. I thought it was 11. I showed up 40 minutes early. I'm there waiting, twiddling my thumbs. We go in there, go to the lady. She says, hey, we're going to try to expedite this because you got 28 days to do this, but the mail system's not working, blah, blah, blah. I suggest you go home and look for it if you can. I'm like, you know, I know it's at our house. I know it's there. She's like, then I would go home, but I'm like, we can't risk it. We got to go ahead and do this. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. So we did. We go ahead, and I'm like, this is, you know, $300, all this money. My daughter's like, I'm so sorry. I don't know where Mom lost it, you know, this kind of thing, right? So the passport place closes, whatever time they close. 5 minutes after the passport place closes, I get a text message from my daughter. It says, Daddy, I just found my passport. I am so sorry. Now, they told us there's a chance. The mail comes once a day or whatever. They said, I just found the passport, blah, 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 you know, all this kind of thing. And I said, well, where was it? She said, oh, it was in my closet. And in that moment, I had a choice because I had a lot of different thoughts, scenarios that could go through my mind. But for some reason, I remembered, because my daughter's 16, like, you know what I would have said when I was 16? You know what I would have done when I was 16? If I did find my passport, nobody would have known about it. I wouldn't have told anybody. I would have been like, what else I might have been tempted to do? Plant it behind my mom's bed. I'm just being honest. That's what I would be tempted to do. And so I'm sitting here texting with her, and she's like, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I wasted our money. I don't know what's going to happen. And she goes through the whole thing, and all I could say was, I was like, baby, do you realize you just told me the truth? I said, the Lord can handle this passport situation. I said, baby, if I were you, I'd be so tempted to lie right now, and you just told me the truth. You just sowed some seeds that might one day reap a harvest. God can handle passports and God can handle the postal system, but only you can surrender your heart to him like this. And you just open yourself up to him in some kind of a way. I cannot tell you how proud of you I am. Now, this is like the only time I've ever responded like this, so that's why I'm so excited to share. But here's what I want you to see. What happened in that moment was, I don't know what's going to happen to the passport, but I can tell you this. I've got connection with my daughter. And the connection is worth way more than any passport. And it's worth way more than any trip. It's worth way more than anything else. And I think this is what Paul means when he says, let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to everyone because the Lord is at hand. Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. There's something that happens when we realize that, wait a minute, if I can have this, what I was trying to give my daughter was what the Bible would call peace. Number one, joy is relational connection. Number two, though, and this is where it ends, peace is relational safety. And now we're ready for, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, is Paul saying that when this happens, everything is good? He's not saying everything is good. What he's saying is there's a peace that can pass understanding. And in the context of peace and joy on earth, you're now ready to have that peace and joy with God in heaven. You're now ready for this to take place here where we've got this where we can come and bring. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. Everyone say by everything. That means little things. Oh, man, I was sure hoping they'd have, you know, ricotta style pizza at the, you know, where are we eating? Armature Works, you know. Oh, I hope they've got lasagna pizza there. It's like, that means you can literally take anything to God because God cares for you. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. In everything is, it's a Greek word that just means like, it's just like any old prayer, just talking to God. Lord, it'd mean a lot to me if you give me a parking spot right now. God, it'd mean a lot to me if they would just talk to me right now. Lord, it'd mean a lot. See, that's that. But he says, in everything by prayer and supplication. This word supplication is the idea of a bigger prayer. It's something big. My marriage is a disaster. My kid has gone astray. I've got a pain in my side that they don't know what it is. They found a spot on my skin that they think might be cancer. I've got this situation. Like the supplication sometimes, these are the bigger things, like a really big supplication that you want to bring to. In other words, there's nothing too small for God, and there's nothing too big for God. There's nothing too minuscule, and there's nothing too massive. I mean, there's nothing that intimidates him, and there's nothing that escapes him because he cares. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares. He really cares. See, this is why peace is relational safety. Joy is relational connection. It's when we connect. Peace is relational safety. This is why Jesus would say in John 14, peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you. I give you peace. I give you my peace. The world doesn't understand this. I give you my peace. My peace I leave with you. Some of you might say, well, this is easy for Paul to say. Paul, it was an apostle. I bet his life was awesome when he said, oh, and the peace of God is going to guard you. Anybody know where Paul was writing the book of Philippians from?
prison. Just to be clear, the Apostle Paul is writing about joy and peace, and he's in a great mood. He's got a good vibe, not because he's in a good spot. It's because he's got a good soundtrack. When you've got the right soundtrack, you could be in prison and you got peace and joy. And I have seen people that were on mountaintops and they had no peace and no joy because they had no connection and they had no peace. See, joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. And both are possible even in the worst scene of your movie if you're playing the right soundtrack. Did you see that? See, peace is relational safety. And it says, and the peace of God will guard. It's a military term that means, like, imagine an armed guard with Uzis and machine guns standing guard over your soul, over your mind. And the peace of God, which passes all, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, when you will start dancing to the rhythm of God's joy and God's peace, what you're going to find is that God shows up with a protection that you cannot explain. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. What that means, moms and dads, is that your kids need to see you display peace and joy even when it doesn't make sense. That's what surpassing understanding means. I think we Christians have done too much. We've got rejoicing when things are good, and we don't have them when things are bad. What Jesus offers is a soundtrack that gives us a vibe and a reality that whether you are in prison or whether you're in a palace, you've got the ability to have peace and joy. You've got strength in your soul, and you've got safety because you know what's up. Amen? So Mike, what do we do with a message like this? Well, I'll tell you what we do with it. I mean, on one hand, the first half is we've got to connect with other people. I mean, this is where we've got passages like when Paul said, greet the brothers with a holy kiss. And I hear people argue about that. Well, do we take the Bible literally? Do we greet each other literally with a kiss, you know? I said this last week at our church, and when I mentioned it, Pastor Oscar, one of our pastors, came up as I'm leaving. He says, all right, everyone, let's go greet each other with a holy kiss. And he came up and surprised me with a kiss, you know. Fortunately, it was more of a Hispanic kiss than a French kiss, so that was kind of, you know, that was good. But I think we actually get a little off track, and I think I watch people argue about, do we literally greet the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss? I don't think the issue is kissing, because contextually, that is what they did. Probably other than Hispanics in the room, because Hispanics totally are like, yeah, we're totally down with that. They did that in there. I think the bigger principle is, though, greet each other. Greet each other. Like, when you leave, don't just look down. Greet each other. You're like, well, that's not my personality. No, I get it. It is the Bible, though. When he says, forgive one another, yeah, that's not my personality. In our family, we don't do much of that forgiveness. I know, that's why you've been born again into a new family. See, you don't get to choose your personality. You do get to choose your soundtrack. Hit the soundtrack of joy. What is joy? Joy is connection. Joy is that glad to be togetherness. If you are glad to see someone, let them know, man. Let them know. Do you understand how many lies the devil puts in people's minds all week long, all day long, all month long? And they walk in, and maybe there's going to be a 2-minute window after this service when someone has a divine appointment with you and your eyes and your voice, and they find out. You are glad to be with them because you are God's prophetic vessel of letting us see. Do you understand? Father is glad to be with you. You're like, yeah, there's no way he could be. If you knew my life, yeah, that's the point. Jesus Christ took everything out of the way that could have ever made God not want to be with you. It's already finished. It's already done. The grace of God is complete. The mercy of God is fulfilled. You could say, yeah, but I don't deserve that. No, exactly. Jesus already got what you deserve so you could get what he deserves. That's the good news. That's the gospel, which is why I can tell you, even if no one on planet Earth has been glad to be with you for a week, a month, or all of your life, I can promise you this, the God of heaven wants to be with you. You just bow your knees for a second, say, oh, our Father, if you could see his face, it would light you up. If you could feel his love, it would light you up. If you could know his heart, it would light you up. But I don't feel like that because you're playing the wrong soundtrack. See, a lot of us, we don't realize our feelings are based on the soundtracks that we're playing. And a lot of us are playing these horror tracks on repeat, wondering why we're not hearing the redemption story that Jesus is trying to tell us. See, what I want you to do today is I want you to do some of this. You know, the neuroscientists tell us that when someone gets an 8-second hug, it does something to them chemically. Like, even inside, it does something to them. And I get it. I know we're in evangelical Christian circles, and everyone does, like, the, you know, like, the very,
you know, like, you know, very, you know, whatever, kind of side quick, you know, the quick little approach. I do whatever you got to do, but what I'm saying is they tell us, I tell my kids this, I'm like, you're going to give me an 8-second hug. And one of my daughters recently, she was being so bad. And I said, come over here, baby. I said, you're going to give me an 8-second hug right now, Naya. And she's like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, no. She said, I'm not in the mood for that. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in the mood. The brain science, because she's really big into, like, she watches, I'm embarrassed to say this, she watches Diary of a CEO podcast with me, okay? So we're always watching that, unless it's about sex. That's the only time I don't let her. But we'll be watching this stuff. And she's like, is this they say this in the neuroscience? I'm like, yeah, the neuroscience says you hit 8 seconds. So I come over, hug her. We do the 8-second hug. She looks back. She goes, it didn't work. And she walks away. 30 minutes later, she comes back. She said, Daddy, I lied. I did feel better. Maybe someone needs an 8-second hug. Like, maybe we need to stop being stingy side huggers and start being extravagant lovers of God and people again. And I'm not saying you need to, like, fill in the blank. What I am saying is, beloved, let us love one another because love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God because God is love. Oh, man, I long, give people eye contact. Express gladness. Find some people. Express gladness. Someone, you might need to run someone down. Don't let them leave. Don't let someone comes to your mind this week and you're just so glad. Text them while you're thinking about it. Well, I'll remember later. You'll forget later. Do it now. Tell them now. Speak to them now. Who knows if that glad to be togetherness joy won't make them strong. See, joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. And both are possible even in the worst of scenes if we connect with God and people. If your microchurch is not going to be meeting this summer, then you got to find ways to connect. You got to find ways to get with some other people. If you're one of the people, maybe you're loosely connected, and maybe today's your first time or you're new around here, really think about plugging in and being a part. I mean, helping us get what God wants to do here. I mean, God is growing this even compared to when I was here last year. I mean, God is doing beautiful things that are here, but we've got to connect because joy is relational connection and peace is relational safety, and both are possible even in the worst of times if we connect. And then, by the way, this is where it ends. Finally, brothers, verse 8, whatever's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. That's what I'm trying. Practice these things. Mike, I'm not good at this. Practice hitting the play button on Joy and Peace soundtrack. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let me slam it to a close. Some of you have been praying for a new scene, but God's trying to give you a new soundtrack. Some of you have been asking him to move the mountains. He wants to teach you to dance on top of those mountains. You keep on saying, get me out, but God is saying, let me in. God is saying that if you will let me in, I'm going to show you that peace is not the absence of problems. Peace is the presence of a person, and his name is Jesus. So turn up the soundtrack. Turn up the peace, and turn up the joy. Turn up the connection. Turn up the truth of God's promises. And when you walk into a room full of chaos, or when you get onto a group chat that's full of chaos, or when you get into a scenario that's full of chaos or despair or worry or whatever that is, don't just bring your stress. Bring your soundtrack. Like on IG when you're looking at someone's Instagram and now the people are always playing music in the back. Make sure you're playing the music of peace and joy when someone's scrolling through the words of your life right now. Make sure that when they see that, because when they look at you, they realize, wait a minute, when you come in the room, you're bringing your joy. When you come in the room, you're bringing your peace. Don't just bring any old thing. Bring the peace and bring the joy. Because when you walk in the room, Jesus walks in the room. Because he said the God of peace will be with you. When you stay connected to the vine, joy rises in you. And when you lift your eyes up to the hills and where does my help come from, you realize, wait, Jesus is going to lift me up too because he is my Prince of Peace. See, I'm talking to someone today that you think you need a new vacation. What you really need is a new visitation of the Holy Spirit.
There's some of us that what we really think we need is like another beach. What you actually need is his presence. Or maybe you think you need his mountain. You need another mountain to go visit a mountain. I need some time off. I need some new scenery. What you really need is new circuitry that happens when you start to have the peace and the joy and the God be on the soundtrack of your soul. Because we know that music does something, and joy does something, and peace does something, and greetings do something, and prayer does something, and gladness does something, and thanksgiving does something. Let the soundtrack of heaven drown out the soundtrack of hell. Can I get an amen? Let the peace of God guard your mind like a soldier at his posts. Let the joy of the Lord become your strength again. Not just a supplement. See, a lot of us have used his joy like a supplement. I want it to be your sustenance. Because the one who sang over the creation at the moment of creation is the one who groaned at the cross. And he's the same one who whispers in the midst of your chaos, I'm still here. I've still got you. You can make this. Now play the right soundtrack. And again, we say, God, I don't know that that's possible. I'm telling you, rejoice. Rejoice in each other. Rejoice in him. Have peace with each other. Have peace with him. Even when your scene doesn't change, your soundtrack can. And if Jesus is your DJ, when he is the one that picks the tunes, when he does that, he lets you know how this ends, and it ends with peace and joy. How do I know? I'm just going to read you a closing scripture. Call today. Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. This is a prophecy from the Old Testament, speaking of Jesus. The Lord has taken away judgments against you. See, the only thing that could have kept you from ever having access to peace and joy would have been your sins. Our sins, though they are scarlet, the Bible says, when we come to Jesus, he wipes them clean. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. Oh, that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. And here's the verse. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who saves. He will rejoice over you with singing gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. The gospel is this. You and I do not deserve access to him. We don't. We are disconnected from him. But what Jesus has done is he goes up on a cross because you are his joy. And Pastor Mike mentioned this last week. Because you are his joy, he can become your peace. He is so glad to be with you. The gospel is that you and me, we were so bad that Jesus had to die. But we were so loved that he was glad to die. And that when Jesus died on the cross, he gave us what David would describe as the joy of our salvation. And if you're here today and you don't have the joy of salvation, turn to Jesus today and you're going to start to hear the soundtrack of heaven play. And if you're like, Mike, I don't know, man. I'm hesitant to come to God. I get it, man. We should all be super hesitant to come to God. We were in trouble until Jesus went to that cross. We were in trouble until Jesus shed his blood. We were in trouble until Jesus died. We were in trouble until Jesus rose. And now, everyone that puts their faith in him will never be put to shame. There is no shame for you. There is no crime that's going to be caused against you. There's no judgment for you. Jesus has taken it all, which means the soundtrack of your soul is one that Jesus himself sings over you. What a thought.